Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. You want to have some fun?
Yeah, we're going to have fun.
Okay, are you ready? Sing along now.
My name is Stanley Bookman, and I come from the world of ink. I live in a town called Storyville that's closer than you think. Just hop online and you will find my online world of fun. There's stories, poems, and features on everything under the sun. Just type in Stories for Children magazine at .org to the end. Come join me in reading adventures, we're sure to become good friends. So come to the world of ink with me, we'll share a story or two. We'll go all over the world, you'll see, we'll have fun the whole day through.
Follow me to the world of ink.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Stories for Children show at BTR World of Ink Network with your hosts, V.S. Grenier and myself, Irene Roth. It's truly an honor to be here with you today. It's Monday, August the 20th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. As always, Stories for Children can be listened to live every other Monday of the month here on the World of Ink Network, or you can listen to it on demand as well at any time you'd like at the same address or on iTunes. Just search for World of Ink Network, and you'll find our show on iTunes. The chat room is also open to post your questions today. If you have a call-in question for our guest, please call 714-242-5259. That's 714-242-5259.
Good afternoon, Irene. How are you doing
Hello.
Today?
Good, thanks. How about yourself?
Good. This is V.S. Grenier, for those who are listening, you know, just so you can distinguish our voices from each other. So today is the Stories for Children show, which we're really excited about, but I want to share a few things really quick. One, if I get dropped or my phone gets staticky on the show, I'm sorry, I'm having thunderstorms out here in Utah. And so, we have, Marcia's not on the show, but she is our foundation today. She's actually monitoring the show, so hopefully we don't get dropped since I've been having technical problems in my neck of the woods. Yeah. And then also the Stories for Children magazine, I've been getting emails from our readers and supporters of our little inzine. It's an online magazine for children 3 to 12 years old. It's the back-to-school issue. I am trying to get it up because of just the crazy weather that's been going on. And my internet dropping, it is a week behind, and I'm sorry for that. And the goal is to hopefully have it up by today sometime, as long as I can keep my internet going. So as soon as it is, we will send out a tweet. We will post it on Facebook. So we will let those of you who follow us there know, and then hopefully you guys will help spread the word. So just keep your eyes open and look for those tweets and those postings on Facebook for the Stories for Children magazine back-to-school issue. And then, as well, we want to thank Halo Publishing. They have become a very big supporter of our Stories for Children show here at the World of Ink Network. So you'll see their banner pop up on our websites and on our show pages from time to time. And so we just want to say
great.
Thank you to – yes, I know. So we want to say thank you to the Halo Publishing family, and especially Lisa Yumina, who is the owner of the company, for their support and help with our funds, since we pretty much, as Irene can testify, we pretty much all work for free.
Mm-hmm.
So you just cover our overhead. So with her help, you know, it is helping us to continue to do what we do here at the World of Ink Network, along with some of our other supporters that we have as well. So thank you for that. And then, so now we need to talk about our guests, because that's what our show is about. We always have authors on our show to talk about their wonderful young adult and children's books, and we're excited because lately, we've either had YA novels, young adult novels, or picture books, but we actually get to talk about a children's chapter book for the first time in so long. Yay, I know. So we're excited because we have with us today author Alice Joy, and she has a chapter book called Kaboom, which is actually, I think, a really great book for reluctant readers, because it's not a typical fantasy, girly kind of story. It can appeal to both boys and girls and the reluctant reader, because it's not, like I said, it doesn't follow that standard fairy tale storyline that a lot of chapter books from middle grade novels do. And Alice is, she's a talented woman. She actually used to do kind of like, and she'll correct me on exactly what the term is, but I call it wood burning. My son used to do kind of that same kind of thing, but worked with wood. And then she got into to writing. She actually studied at the Institute of Children's Literature. And, you know, she's been a creative person. I guess she's been telling stories to her kids and her grandkids throughout the years. So now she's actually decided to take that step forward into the publishing world and join the many wonderful authors out there bringing great stories to children. So welcome to the show, Alice. It's great to have you here today.
Oh, thank you. This is quite exciting for me.
I'm sure it is. I mean, you know, I know you live kind of in a more of a tucked away area of, in the United States out in Ohio. So I'm sure doing, you know, having a book out and, you know, out doing book signings and doing the virtual tour like you are right now at the World of Ink Network is, you know, it's different than just, you know, kind of being in your cozy home and in your little community doing, you know,
oh, everybody's
day
been so
day
excited
activity.
For me, too.
Yes, and exciting. Yes, and I'm sure you've met a lot of different wonderful people during this, you know,
oh,
new chapter in your life.
It is. I never expect to be doing this at this time of my life.
Oh, isn't that great?
So,
no, and I think it's great. I you know, there's a lot of people that we've encountered, and Irene will tell you this too, that, you know, they waited until pretty much retirement, you know, be that early retirement or, you know, standard, you know, age after age 65 retirement to start writing. And I think it's so great because, and I'm not knocking, you know, us younger writers by any means, but I just think that you guys have, you've experienced and lived life longer. Where I think
That's
you
right.
have more experiences to draw from.
Well, you know, I've inspired my husband to do this, and he's 83.
Wow.
And so he's decided to write his memoirs from way back when.
Wow.
And it's exciting for me to see him do that because he's got some pretty funny tales.
Well, I'm sure. And you think about it, I mean, you know, and trust me, I mean, I have this 16-year-old son all the way down to a 2-year-old daughter. And, you know, they look at me, and I remember when I was my son's age, you know, looking at my parents and thinking, oh, you're ancient, you're around when the dinosaurs were around. But, I mean, honestly, I think about, and not, you know, I'm approaching middle age, you know, I'm going to be 40 soon. And, you know, not that I consider myself all that old. But, I mean, and my parents are definitely in the early 60s, and I don't even consider that old anymore at all. But
you won't feel that when you get to be 60. You won't feel like it.
Right.
You'll wonder how you ever got there.
But when you mention your husband who's, you know, who's 83 years old, I think, you know, just in, you know, my almost 40 years here, the things, I mean, and I'm not saying I haven't seen huge changes. I mean, obviously computers weren't even around when I was born, which my kids are there and I fight. They didn't have a computer. I'm like, no, and I go, flat screens? Yeah, like that, no one would have even, that was like, you know, George Jetson, you know, type, you know, sci-fi.
Kids are funny.
You know, I mean, who would have thought of that back then when we were little kids, right? But, you know, I think about it, and I'm like, world, you know, just things that happen in the world are not as, I mean, there is changes, but I think that, you know, you think when you talk to me, you know, like your age or your husband's age, you know, at 83, you're like, wow, I mean, you guys went through some major world event changes as well that I think really gives you a great perspective as a writer because you understand, I think, more in depth motivation behind people and why they do things they do versus, you know, especially like the younger generations right now where, I mean, yeah, we do have some big things happening, but not like it was before. So
oh,
I think they totally understand the motivation behind why people do what they do all the time.
Yes, I know. And, you know, the things you do when you're young, like I lived in a tent and then I lived in a basement. We made a recreation park and we built the building and then we just put a top on it because we were going to live upstairs eventually. And we lived down in the basement. And when spring came, we had plastic over the top and water when it rained. And I was whisking the water out. I had two babies. I can't think what I was thinking at the time, but I know I didn't want to live with anybody. So I wanted that. That's what I chose to do. And people don't believe it when they hear my stories.
Wow. That's,
so we have a lot to...
Yeah.
That's amazing.
No, I think that's great. So you have this book out. You've written a book before, but this is actually your debut into children's writing. This is your first chapter book in the children's world.
Yeah, this is my first book, and I have 8.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I've decided I want to turn it into a series, I have to write Sprout into each of those stories, which is going to be very easy. Yeah.
You know, and I think that's great that you're actually taking stories that you've worked on, and when, you know what, now I have this book published. Instead of publishing these other ones as individuals, I can turn this into a series, because I actually have because I write picture books, and I have a picture book that just, you know, won an award, and so I've actually taken a couple of my other picture book manuscripts that I had written as standalone, and I'm doing the same thing. I'm taking my characters from those books, you know, from that one book that won the award, and working them now into that new storyline, which, I mean, of course, is changing it a little bit because it has to fit their personalities. But,
you have to change it in order to get them in there. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's nice to not have to, like, go, great, now I have all these books I need to work on, and then I have to come up with this whole new series. Sorry, I think my call waiting is deep in.
you know what? I lost
you.
I lost it for a minute.
Oh, you're there, right? Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm there.
We're all here still, right?
Yeah,
okay.
We're all here, yeah.
Go on.
But so share with us a little bit about your chapter book, Kaboom, and about Sprout and the inspiration behind it, because it is such a unique fantasy adventure story idea. I mean, it's not, like I said, it's not your typical... when people think about fantasy, especially fairies or anything magical, you know, the first thing that goes through everybody's mind is the hero's journey. They start thinking, Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter or Percy Jackson and the Olympians, you know, some of the really hyped up fantasy stories, but yours isn't like that. I mean, it's very different.
Well, you know, when I decided to do this, because I wrote these stories for my grandchildren and my kids and then my great grandkids, and a lot of people wanted me to start writing books. Well, when I started this story, and I had a man in Medina, he publishes books, but not children's, and he said he'd read my book for me. And then when he found out it was a fairy, he told me, you know, you need to get this out of here. They don't like fairies anymore and all this stuff. And I thought, no, wait a minute. This is my story, and it's about a fairy, and I'm going to make her a fairy that isn't the usual fairy, and I'm going to stick with it, and I did, and I'm glad I did. So
because she's not a Tinkerbell.
And she gets
very, very
all the time, and she doesn't mean to. It just happens, and she's a good little girl. She makes everything come out right in the end. But she's not a little girl. She's older than Taylor. Taylor's 7, so I'd say she would be more like 14 or 15 in fairyland. But she speaks big words. She uses big words, and I thought that would be a good thing, and the kids could learn still while they're reading, so that's what I decided to do. And each one of these books were written for one of my grandchildren, and she'll be the same fairy in each one of the books.
Yeah, and I love your little glossary at the end. That's perfect, too, that you have all the, all the definitions of the big words at the end, which is great because kids can really, you know, learn them. So that's wonderful.
Yes, Lisa thought it should be for the parents so that they can look at that and then they know, you know, to look for that in the book. So that's what we did.
Perfect.
Yeah, I love that idea, too. I think that's really great. And what I also like about Sprout is, she doesn't, and we have the cover, you know, if anybody's actually on the World of Ink page, if you click on because I know if you're on the main page, you can just hear the show. But if you actually click on the Stories for Children icon and go into this particular show's direct show page, you can see pictures flashing up, and you'll see the cover of Kaboom. And Sprout's this redheaded, she kind of, to me, reminds me of like this like tomboyish Irish-looking kind of fairy.
She does, yeah.
You know, versus like, you know, when people think fairy, they think automatically, they go, oh, Tinkerbell and all like the Disney fairies. And it's like, no, she's, I mean, even though she has a shoe fetish, she does not look like a girly girl fairy at all.
No,
I mean, she looks like a...
She's
and
bold.
Yes, and these shoes are just out of this world. I mean,
oh,
they
yeah,
aren't.
Cute.
They aren't too girly.
I just
love
those little
army boots.
Yeah.
Yes. That's funny you said that, because when I was working on putting the banner together for the show, my husband walked by and he looked at my computer. He's like, "Is that a furry wearing combat boots?" And I'm like, "In fact, it is."
Yeah.
You know, but I love that because, you know, I have, and I don't talk about this very often, but I actually do. I actually have 25 pairs of shoes. But
oh,
I
my
was
goodness.
The biggest. I do. Well, I used to be a shoe buyer. In my old life, I used to be a shoe buyer. So part of those shoes I have was because I was a shoe buyer. So it was because, you know, I either got them for free.
I worked at a shoe company, and I had 22 pairs of shoes when I got married.
Yes, that's what happens. Well, because they want you to wear, you know, so you either get the shoes free or you get them at a great discount. So you end up acquiring a bunch of shoes. But I have a bunch of shoes and I have a bunch of handbags. But I am, like, probably the least girly, and I used to work in the fashion industry, which is really funny. But I was the biggest tomboy and the most ungirly girl on the face of the planet in my family. And so that's why I really identify with Sprout, because that's how she comes across to me in the story.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, even though she has these girl traits to her,
uh-huh,
then she's very opposite of that in her overall personality as well. And I love that about her.
Yes, spunk, definitely.
Yes, lots of spunk. And determination. I love her determination, something that a lot of kids don't have. And I hope that, you know, they pick up and realize, you know, that's a good trait to have. I mean, obviously, if you apply it in the right ways, I mean, turn people who don't, that's not a good thing. But, you know, she's a very determined fairy, and I love that, because I think sometimes as kids, you know, and I don't know why this is, but it seems like a lot of kids nowadays seem like they feel like they can't do stuff. I mean, my 7-year-old is a big one for that. You know, we just had this happen the other day. I told her to go do something, and she looked at me. She's like, "I can't do that. I'm all by myself. I can't do that by myself." And I'm like, "Why are you saying you can't? You haven't even tried. You know, you haven't even taken one step forward." And so
well, you know, I had
time.
To battle that. When I was young, I had to battle that. I didn't have confidence in myself. So I can see a lot of people have it. A lot of people have that, and it's misunderstood. Some people think it's because they're lazy, and it's not. It's just because they don't have confidence in themselves.
Right.
So
yeah, no, and that's what I love about Sprout, because she shows these, you know, the kids reading the book that, you know, you can do this, and you just have to believe in yourself and have the determination to at least try and push forward. And I love it because, like you said, you know, she just has a knack for bad things happening to her with, you know, unplanned. But she doesn't let it stop her. She's just like, okay, we'll just figure out a different way.
Yeah,
and I love that. You know, she doesn't give up, because, you know, that's the other thing. You know, kids who do try, they try once and then they give up. So I love I love her determination. And
well,
it really shows.
My next book is called Snookered Snookerdoodles. And
Oh my goodness. So cute.
It's about my little granddaughter that's challenged. And so Sprout has to teach her how to have confidence in herself and believe in herself. And it works out great. It's a good story.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to reach out to challenged children too. So I thought that they would like that book. So that's what I'm trying to do. I want to reach all of them.
Great.
So
no, I think that's really great, because Irene's actually working on getting some books published, and she's doing a series of books for empowerment to help empower kids. So I think it's great that, you know, so many of you guys are starting to get onto that theme to really, you know, help this new generation of children out there, you know?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, because they need all the help they can get, obviously, you know. There's not a lot, you know, that the culture offers, you know. So we, the writers, have one, you know, important venue and an important mission to really bring this message across to kids. And I think through the written word, it's not only possible, but I think it's probably one of the better ways to do it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So.
Yeah, we just, I enjoy doing it. I really love making a story.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I've had to do it so many times when I had five siblings, and two of them were like 13 and 12 years younger than me. So I told a lot of stories in my life.
Yeah.
All my babysitting and everything. And so that's just me. I'm used to doing it, and I like, so now that I don't have, well, I have a new great-grandchild, he's 4 months old, so it'll be a while for him, but I want to take these stories and make a good one out of all of them, so.
What's your favorite part about writing? Because you mentioned, you know, how much you love writing, and, you know, obviously you wouldn't be doing, you know, writing books if you didn't. I mean, that's like the biggest thing. I have talked to writers from all different walks of life, and it's like once that bug bites you, you just, You have to write. It's like, or otherwise you feel stagnant. And so I'm just curious, kind of what is the thing when you sit down and start working on a new, you know, idea? What's your favorite part of the whole process?
Well, actually, I'm not sitting down when I'm trying to think about something. I pick it up from being with the kids and doing things. I see things happening that I can make a story out of. And like Taylor, when she was little, she just said the funniest things, and she and I'd be talking to her, and she said, "Well, Grandma, things happen. Those things happen sometimes." And she's only 5 years old.
Oh wow!
But anyway, where she
That's
lived,
great.
You know, they had it. They have a very large pond or a small lake, whatever you want to call it. And she. Everything was there that was in the story. Everything was there. And I could just, and when I'd come home, and I used to write up in the loft, and I'd sit up there, I'd sit down at my desk, and I couldn't get the stuff down fast enough. It was just, everything would come, and I just have to write it, you know, right away while I was thinking about it. And I keep a paper and pen by my bed, because sometimes at 3 o'clock in the morning, I wake up and I got something in my head, and I got to write it down.
Yeah, the best stories come at that time, right?
Oh, I agree. Mine are always in the shower or when I'm sleeping, and my husband definitely thinks I'm nuts because I have a I use my phone because it has the recorder, you know, out to it, so I can use like a voice recorder, and I think people think I'm nuts because sometimes we'll be out shopping, and an idea hits, and I'll pull it out and I'll start talking to the phone, and they're just looking at me because, you know, here I am. I'm like, you know, repeating what this character is saying, or so it's basically like a bunch of gibberish, and they're just looking at me like, is she talking to herself?
No, you know, she's talking on the phone, right?
You know, or my husband will wake up at night, and he's like, honey, you know, like, shake me. You're thinking I'm talking in my sleep, and then realize I'm recording something.
Well, that's the life of a writer, you know?
Yeah, but I love the fact that you mentioned, you know, that, like, with Taylor, it was things that she said that kind of helped, you know, inspire a lot of the Kaboom story, because I kid you not, before I got, you know, on to do the show today, I was in my room getting some stuff done, you know, cause like I said, I have a two-year-old, and so we're in my master bedroom, and I was putting some stuff away and everything before I headed into the office, and her dad, when we got home from dropping her brother and sister off, he was leaving. My husband was leaving to go to work. And she's been running around the house all day going, where's Dad, where's Dad, where's Dad? Which, so it was funny, cause, and she started doing it again, and she would, like, get stuff out of his side of the room and, like, bring it up to me and show it to me and then go, where's Dad? And I kid you not, I started sparking, like, all these ideas for a storyline about, you know, this little girl walking around saying, where's Dad, the whole time. But, you
that's
but
great.
Stuff, you know, coming across different stuff, you know, that relates to her dad. So anybody who is going, wow, that's a great idea, our books will be different because obviously whatever your husband likes will be so different from what mine does. So, but yeah, I mean, it's amazing how kids do that. So
that's
I think that's, you know,
Well,
I think that's great.
My third book is going to be about treasure hunting and pirate treasure hunting with three of my grandsons. And the smallest one, I'm telling you, he was so funny. You'd look out the window, and he'd be out there with a stick. He'd get these sticks, and he'd be, you know, like the Power Rangers and the different guys, and he's dancing and jumping in the air, and he's got an imaginary person there that he's sword fighting with. And he's just such an inspiration for that book that I'm going to put in, and I just love it.
That's
the thing
great.
That he does, you know, well, not anymore. He's a sophomore in high school now, but
yeah.
he was so funny, and I just got all that down on paper.
Yeah, no, I think that's great, and the fun part about this though is because you know, and a lot of, I mean, not every writer does this, but you know, a good majority of writers do base stuff off personal experiences. You know, or tie characters from, you know, people that they've encountered, be it family, friends, acquaintances, whatever. And I mean, the fact that you're writing this whole series around, you know, your kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, you know, in their lives, I mean, once you're basically leaving a legacy once you've moved on from this life, I mean, for them, where they will always have something to look back and say, oh, you know, she put this in. I remember when I was a kid, and I used to do, you know, and I mean, what a great way to, one, tell a story that everybody can enjoy, but, you know, leave a legacy for your family so they can look back and share it with the next generation and the next generation, and then use that to also talk about the family history, too,
of
their lives. I mean,
well,
wow.
And I know they're proud of what I'm doing, because Eddie had a friend with his here at the house, and he introduced me to him, and then I heard him when he was walking away. He said, my grandma's writing stories about all of us, and you know, and I could just tell it made him proud. So I'm glad that I'm doing it.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I would love for you to kind of share a little bit with us, you know, what, I mean, obviously you've been telling stories for such a long time, and, you know, like you said, from babysitting to your own kids to your grandkids, What made you decide, you know, to just one day enroll into the Institute of Children's Literature, take their basic writing course, and actually step through that threshold to say, you know what, I'm actually going to work toward, you know, publication one day?
Mm-hmm. I think it was when some of my grandkids got older, and I wasn't writing for them anymore. You know, I was writing for the little ones. And my friends, my close friends, and my husband, all of them started on me about, you really should be writing books. You really should be writing books. So then I was so used to doing this wood burning, and then I got all the doors burned, and I said, well, there's nothing left here to do. So I just decided, I had just closed the door on the studio, and I started writing upstairs. Well, then in January, when I really found out that I was really going to do this and go with Halo, I came down, and the kids helped me gut this studio out, and I gave them the shelves and the tables and whatever was in here, and took all my art stuff down to the grade school, and they were really happy to get it. And I just made my studio, and I'm happy. I'm really, really happy.
That's wonderful. Well, you sound it, and I think that's amazing and great. And yeah,
I'm just so sorry that I didn't know more about modern technology, so I didn't have to give you fits.
I was just talking because I'm helping her with her World of Ink tour, because those who don't listen to our show all the time, I'm also one of the tour coordinators for the World of Ink tours, and Irene's one of the hosts to help with the tours as well. And we had some glitches trying to get emails back and forth. Of course, I kept showing up in spam, so I guess, you know, something that was
no.
My fault, too.
Oh my God.
I had to learn all this stuff at once, the computer and everything.
But yeah, and you have your daughter and is it daughter and granddaughter helping you with putting your web page together?
Yes,
which
my
is another
daughter
learning curve.
And my granddaughter Taylor, yes, she's been helping me. So thank goodness for them.
You know, I'm glad you're not letting technology keep you from entering, you know, basically this new era of the publishing world, because, you know, there's a lot of, you know, writers who've been around for years and they're like, I still like my you know, pad of paper and my pen, and I write everything longhand. And then I hire somebody, or, you know, if they have the funds, or, you know, they one finger type in their story slowly into the computer, and I'm just like, you're not letting that deter, you know, I'm not saying that's what you do, but I'm
well, I
not
got
letting
to technology
this point.
Scare it took
you
me
off.
So many, yeah, it took so many years to get to this point. I wasn't going to let it stop me now, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, there's a learning curve involved, even for all of us, you know, with the computer age. It just keeps changing all the time. So, you know, I even find with myself that, you know, websites that I was really used to are all changed now on me. So, you know, there's quite a learning curve to it. So you just have to kind of roll with the punches, sadly.
Yeah, you do. You have to roll with them, that's for sure.
Now, Alice, talking about that everything, because you're with Halo, and Halo is amazing. That's your publisher, Halo Publishing. And I know because I work with them on the editing side, plus my picture book, Babysitting Sugar Paw, is also with Halo. You know, Lisa Yumina, the owner there, I mean, she's always looking at new ways with all the technology happening to help her authors out. So what's that experience been like? I mean, because I know she's very hands-on with her authors, which is great, because when you're with a lot of the bigger publishers, unless you become, and we call them the cash cows, you know, the ones that get on the New York bestseller list, you usually don't get that individualized attention, because you're just usually either at the bottom, you know, one of their new authors that no one's ever heard about, or you're like in the middle, and yeah, you make money, but you're in the middle, you're not like their star. And so being with a publisher like Halo Publishing,
well,
can you kind of share what that process has been like and what you've learned? Because, I mean, they're really good about bringing you along, so you learn the whole process, which is great.
Right. Well, you know, my husband saw an advertisement on the TV, and it was for Halo. And so he called it, and he didn't say anything to me about it. And then I got a call from Bernita. She's the one that is the counselor you talk to in the beginning. And she called me, and I said, no, I didn't think I would be interested in going that way. And I thought I was going to sign a contract with an agent at the time. And then I went down and listened to him talk, and I thought, oh, it's going to take 2 years for them to usually get a publisher. And then you don't know how long it's going to take after they sign you up. And then they're going to get 25% of everything you do. The agent, and the girl that was, he had to do the pictures was $6,000, right off before I get anything. And I thought, I'm too old for this. I don't have time to fool around with this stuff. So when she called me back again, we talked some more, and after the fourth telephone call, and she sent me all the information on Halo Publishing, I was sold. I said, this is where I'm going. So, and I'm very happy. They are wonderful. They're very kind, and they're very patient, and I can't imagine now doing a book with anybody else.
Yeah.
That is if they'll take me again.
No, and I think that's great because, you know, I've talked to so many authors, and, you know, sometimes you luck out, and you get a really good publisher or even a really good, you know, agent who has really good ties with the publisher, so it's a quicker process. But then, you know, for whatever reason, they don't take a book, so they end up with somebody else, or it's their first time and it's their first experience, and it's exactly like you said, you know, you're like, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm not going to – they're basically taking all my words, and I'm not going to see anything out of it, and who knows, you know, I might be dead by the time it gets published, and holy cow, you know. And it's like this awful experience, and you're just like, oh, great. I'm so glad I published.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I am very, very happy that I did this.
That's great.
And, I mean, you know, it's expensive no matter what you do if you're going to get published. But the idea is to get a company that's, that publisher that you feel like you can trust, that you like.
Right,
and
right.
That's the way I feel. So.
Yeah, no, and you're right, because I've talked to a lot of new authors that are out there, and they're shocked. They think that it's, you just write this manuscript and then you're going to get this check. And it's like, no, you have to actually put time and money and energy, because there's marketing and there's, sometimes you have to help, if you don't like, I've actually talked to authors, they didn't like the illustrator that they signed them up with, so they had to go get their own illustrator
and pay
to have illustrations done, and then let the publisher see them and have the publisher say, okay, yeah, they're good, we'll use them. And, you never know. I mean, it's definitely... it's blood, sweat, tears, and money all involved.
Oh, I know. I'm really happy with my illustrator. She did a wonderful job. I mean, she lives in Nova Scotia, for goodness sakes.
Wow.
I'm very happy with what she did.
Oh, yeah, they're so cute. The illustrations are so wonderful. I was just looking at them the other day, and I was thinking, does Bro never look cute? I mean, she's bold and she's feisty, but she's cute too. It's just she's so adorable. Every reader will absolutely fall in love with her.
And that picture of her sitting in the middle of the busted house.
Yep.
she's saying, "I've been discombobulated," and if you look at her face, that looks just like what she's saying. And I thought, that made me fall in love with that picture, because it looked exactly like she was saying, "I've been discombobulated."
Oh, it was perfect.
your illustrator did. She did a great job capturing, your words and transferring that into, visual pictures for the reader, because it's a really hard challenge, unless you're somebody who can do both. And your publisher will let you do both. Trying to find that team of an illustrator and an author and have them, in this relationship to where you guys can understand and relate to each other, basically only through text, straight black and white text, is really difficult. So I'm glad that, it's a positive.
I guess because I feel my whole package was great, I mean, the illustrator, Diane's her name. I shouldn't be saying the illustrator. Diane Lucas is her name, everybody was very kind and helpful. So I'm happy.
Yeah. What would you say has been the hardest biggest learning curve? I don't want to say the hardest hurdle, because like that. The biggest learning curve for you through this process of writing a children's book and getting it published, because, I know as an author, I'm always growing, and every time I get something published, be it a short story or a craft or a book, there's always something I learn from that experience. I'm like, oh, that was a curveball.
For me, writing for myself, I think made it easier, where if I was writing for somebody else and I had to do what they wanted me to do, I think I could run into mental writing blocks and problems, because I would have a deadline.
Right.
But writing for myself, I don't have that deadline, because when I'm ready to publish the book, then I'll go ahead and do that. And I don't have to have it done by a certain time. And I think that makes a big difference. Don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Because if you have to write for somebody, I think that's when the mental blocks come in.
Yeah.
And they can't think
they
of something.
They could, and that's for sure. Yeah.
Deadlines are not fun. I hate what I do, but when I do freelance writing for people and I'm hired to, write something for them.
Yes.
For work for hire, and I have those deadlines. You're right. It is very difficult, because you're constantly, and you don't mean to, but even subconsciously, you're constantly looking at the clock going, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I think that's hard. I think that would be hard. So,
yeah.
I'm very grateful that I don't have that problem, and I've not. Who knows? The next book. This next book's almost done, but I've got to do things with Sprout, you know. But I just not had that problem because I didn't have to do it for somebody else.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's a great thing because it is hard when you do get thrown those curveballs and you're just like, oh my gosh, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, that was a learning experience. Don't do that again.
I'll tell you, the hardest thing for me was when I had to send these four situations to you. I had to do it with a attachment, and I had to learn how to do that. That was the hardest thing in the whole.
Yeah, wow. And speaking of attachments, because you know, I'm sure there's people listening. Putting an attachment on email isn't hard, but you know, especially now, because it seems like you know the different email providers out there, they keep wanting to one up the other guys, and so they're always making changes. I have actually recently gone into Google and they've made some changes, and it took me a while to find what I was looking for because I was like, wait, where did it go?
Yeah, I felt the same way, Virginia. Yeah.
Yeah. I understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I had to do those seven, there was seven in the beginning that I had to do for you and get to you.
Yeah.
And my computer didn't want to it didn't want to cooperate with me on one of them, and the would go outside the margin.
Oh, we're kind of thinking of food here. That's okay.
And it would drop a line or go up a line. I don't know what this computer was doing. My sister-in-law came to help me, and she says, it acts like it's possessed.
Oh, dear. It happens sometimes. Computers
do
that.
What she found out? It was getting hot right here in the front of it where your wrist was, and it was getting hot. Well, I used the mouse. I don't use that, so I didn't think that was it. But that's what she said it was. But anyway, I'm happy.
Yes, and so
I have a laptop that actually does the same thing. It gets overheated, and then it doesn't do anything you want it to do. So I have to shut it down for a few hours.
Well, maybe that was it. Maybe I just should have shut it down, you know.
Yeah, that's what my computer person said. It just shut everything down if it gets too hot, and it starts doing really strange things, and, things get much better afterwards. And ever since I've started doing that, it does. It's just a pain because usually when you're trying to get something off, that's exactly when it goes funny on you. So
<That's> when it does it,
like Murphy's Law. But anyways.
That's what I was going to say, especially now when you have, a book published and you're in the process of, getting the word out and stuff. I mean, you're constantly having to be on the computer and send stuff and receive stuff, and it can be a learning curve. And sometimes especially because of viruses and stuff. I mean, I think that was probably my biggest learning curve when I got into the publishing world, for more from the fashion world, was I was using email way more, and I started realizing sometimes you can't do attachments. You have to put it in the body of your email, but then it goes a little weird with the formatting. So you have to learn how to fix that. And it's like, oh my gosh, I was just like, this isn't easy.
No.
What about me? I couldn't find you anywhere, and you were in spam.
and spam and junk folders. Yes, as wonderful as they are, sometimes things show up that shouldn't in there.
I think I got you out now.
Good. So you're working on, you're almost done with your second book. Are there any other projects that you're working on? Are you just focusing right now on your
just my books? Yes, I have eight, and I just
okay.
And this is the first one, and so they're all there. I just have to get Sprout in them.
Should we call them the Sprout series? I mean, I don't know. Do you have an actual name for the series that you're going to call these books?
Each one is going to be Sprout. She's going to be in every book.
Okay, so basically it's your Sprout series because, obviously each book will have their own individual title, but every...
Oh, yeah, they'll all have their own title.
Yeah.
Like this next one is the Snookerdoodles, and the snickerdoodles are the bad guys. And then in the second one, the third one will be Bony Skull Cove.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they go pirate treasure hunting. And
picked some really interesting title names, and I don't mean to cut you off, Alice, but I mean, you have Kaboom, and you said your next one's going to be the Snickerdoodle. What was it? Snickerdoodle what?
You're doing what my daughter does. She calls it Snickerdoodles, and it's Snookerdoodles.
Snickerdoodles, there you go. See, I'm picking food. Snickerdoodles. I want some Snickerdoodle cookies. Yeah, Snickerdoodles. I mean, where do you get the idea for your title names? I mean, they're just so unique, and they're not your average book title at all.
No.
I decided that when I took my course, the first thing I learned was you have to have a catchy title, and the first page, everything, you need to hook them in there. And so I've never forgotten that. That's the one thing I've kept in my mind all the time. So there's a lot of names in Snookerdoodles because my granddaughter goes to bed the night before her birthday, and she wakes up in the land of Bippin'Pook.
Oh, wow.
And Sprout was sent there by her queen to be there for Kaylin when she woke up.
Wow.
And, of course, she had a problem before she got there. And she got there a little later than she planned. And it goes on from there, and all the names and the people are different because Kaylin is different. Kaylin was born with a chromosomal mix-up where a number 7 chromosome had another tab on it, like it tried to split again. And so Kaylin has the sign language, and she has this syndrome. And she looks different, and she's fragile, but she is the most wonderful child, and she was in 4-H, and everybody in Medina knows Kaylin, and everybody's very protective of her. And so I wanted to write a fun book for children with challenges. And all these people in Bippin'Pook are different, and they all look different. There's a brother and sister that are lavender, and the governor has great big bushy hair, and he's kind of short and has a huge head. And there's something different about everybody, but they all love each other because of their good side, of the goodness in each one. And that's what I wanted to bring about in Kaylin's story.
Yeah, that's a great message.
Anyway, that's my biggest book. It'll be the biggest of all my books because the story demands that I have to have it that big. I can't get it all out if I don't make it that big.
Yeah, no, and I love the fact that, you know, the titles tie into, you know, the storyline. It's not like you just pick this title because it's like a catchy title, and it doesn't tie, I mean, you know, like you said, you know, the Snookerdoodles, that's the name of, you know, of a group of people in the book, you know, and then Kaboom, I know with that book, it begins and ends with that,
Kaboom.
You know, action word, Kaboom. So, I mean, I love that, you know, that you really took to heart, you know, learning that through your writing workshop, you know, classes to you know.
And she doesn't have confidence because of her life, the way she was born and everything. She doesn't have the confidence, although her mother and her father treat her as just like each child. She is normal and everything. She's in the latest of the styles. She has everything, but she still, of course, is behind socially because she can't communicate. And Sprout is still the protagonist in each one of these books, and it's because of Sprout that she Kaylin is able to save Bip and Pook.
That's great.
So,
great.
It is a fun book. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It sounds like it, and another good one to read when it comes out, because I really enjoyed Kaboom, and you're a very talented writer. And I love, you know, as we've been talking, you've been talking about all the different messages that you have out there, you know, for the young writers as they read your stories.
Uh-huh.
But that's the thing, they're not screaming at you in your face, you know, here's the moral, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they're just, it's subtly in the storyline, you know, through the actions and of the characters and the circumstances and decision making, you know, as the reader,
uh-huh.
you pick up, oh, this is why this happened. Oh, this is why that happened. Oh, this is why my mom tells me not to do that, because right here's a prime example
right.
of exactly why not to. And I love that, because, you know, it's there, and subconsciously they're picking it up without them going, oh, it's yelling at me to not lie again.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right.
You know.
Well, she's a special child, and I just wanted to get that out.
Yeah,
so.
I think that's great. I think it's gonna be fun reading each book in the series, because, you know, it sounds like you have a very fun, interesting group of children, you know, stories to pull from, you know, let alone the messages and experiences you guys have all
Oh,
done.
I know. You know, the humor and everything. I've just got it right here in my, right in my front yard, so I can draw from it all the time.
Alice, I'm just curious, is there anything that you would, you know, if a new writer contacted you and was like, you know, what advice could you give to those new writers that are turning to someone like you who's out there and putting their foot through that publishing threshold and taking those steps?
You know, I didn't know that I was going to be a writer. So therefore, I didn't get any training, you know, in the beginning. And
mm-hmm.
If you know you're going to be, and if you can get that, I just loved that course I took at the Children's Institute of Literature in Connecticut, but if you can get any kind of training at all, that I think would be wonderful. But you know, you really have to love what you. I mean, if you don't like writing, it'd be foolish to even do something like that. But you have to love what you're doing, I think, when you're writing, don't you?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And so if you do, then set your goal, and not a great big one at first, you know, go gradually, and set your goals, and as you go, it'll happen if that's what you really want. It'll happen.
Yeah. You know, because
so
I know there's right now with the economy really hard and tough, and Marcia Casper-Cook and I talk about this a lot. We do a show together every other Friday called What is Success?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's basically an advice kind of, you know, show where people can call in with questions and we'll answer them. We'll just, you know, we always have a show topic that we pick just to kind of do a discussion on anyways. But, you know, we know that when the economy gets really bad, you know, it doesn't matter if it's in one country or across, you know, the globe like it is right now, a lot of people think, oh, you know, I'm just going to write a book.
Uh-huh,
you know,
yeah.
I can't tell you. I mean, especially when someone finds out that you actually are, you know, an author or
uh-huh.
a freelance writer, you know, for like periodicals or whatever. The second someone finds out, they're like, oh, I've always thought about writing. I kid you not. They all come out of the woodwork. And,
uh-huh.
and I'm not saying that some of those people don't have talent. I'm sure probably about 50% of them, you know, 25% of them do.
Uh-huh.
But I think a lot of people think it's really easy just to sit down at a keyboard and just type out a book, you know, be it nonfiction, fiction, you know,
yes.
you know, a collection of poetry. And
uh-huh.
I'm just kind of curious, I mean, what would you say to somebody
they
like that?
They do think it's easy to do that, yeah. I know. I knew that I had to have, as much as I had been writing, I knew I had to have some kind of training to put it, my thoughts properly on paper.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to know, because sometimes you can put sentences that are should be up here, and you put them, I'm using my hands, you can see me, but anyway, you put them up above, and they should be down lower in your story, you know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where you're making a paragraph that is should have been up in the beginning, and it's down below, and you don't see it because you don't know that you've done something wrong. But if you learn, if you get a little training, that helps a lot. And I think it does. It helped me.
What about your relationship with your working with your editorial staff? I mean, because that's the other thing, and I can talk about this as an editor. I have authors, I work through my company. I'm working at Stories for Children magazine, or if I'm working, over at Halo with Lisa, and most of them are pretty receptive there, and I think it's because I'm a company. But then I have, the few that will hire me before they want to even send it into a publisher or an agent, and so they'll hire me as a freelance editor to kind of go through, give them my thoughts, find mistakes, point things out so they can make their manuscript better.
Uh-huh.
Just even for the submission process. And I kid you not, I have run into people who will fight me on every single suggestion. And I'm just like,
yeah, but if they do that, they're hurting themselves when they do that.
Well, yeah, that's how I feel. I'm like, well, then why did you hire me if you think you know everything and don't want to hear my professional
opinion?
Yeah,
yeah.
So do you feel like your relationship and working with your editorial team, as you're getting your book published was
valuable? I'll tell you what. Between you and Lisa, I can't even imagine how I would have done this without you. You have been so wonderful. And Robin said, Mom, did you get such and such done? Well, I wanted to get a hold of Virginia, but I didn't want her to know that we're that stupid. We didn't know how to do it. She says, Mom, they already know.
Aren't great in pointing those things out to you?
Yeah, I told you.
And
anyway.
And as they get older, they still don't mind telling you those things either.
Oh, boy. Isn't that awful?
Well, thank you. Thank you, Allison. I wasn't... There goes my phone again. I wasn't trying to get you to toot my horn in any which way. So thank you for those positive remarks about me. But, because I know when... And this makes people... Sorry, my phone did again. This makes people always shocked because you're like, well, Virginia, you're an editor. You're the chief editor over at Halo, and then you're the owner and founder of Stories for Children magazine, which means, even though I have editors like Irene and stuff that look at stuff, I still look at it, one more time before it goes out. And then they find out that I actually, when I publish something, it doesn't matter if I'm doing, again, something for a periodical or like when I have my book, when I had my picture book done, I was not the editor for those things because I know I'm so close to the work that even though I can edit other people's work, I can't edit my own stuff.
No,
and I was nuts to think otherwise.
Oh, yeah.
Well, did Lisa tell you that I sent in 3 manuscripts? Because
no.
The first 2 I sent in were the ones that I had to revise, and I have no idea. Absolutely no idea how those 2 got in the envelope instead of the one that was supposed to be in it.
Oh, wow.
Twice. I did it twice. I felt so embarrassed.
Oh, dear.
Robin says, oh, well, Mom, if we could be a fly on the wall when they're talking about it.
Oh,
well, I'll make you feel better, Alice, because, sometimes for Halo, Lisa will ask me to write stuff up, like, words of advice type stuff to send out, to her group of authors,
uh-huh.
like how to do this or how to do that. So she'll give me a topic. And, I write it up. And, again, like I said, this is why I'm glad Lisa looks at me. She'll email me back. And she's like, Virginia, I found 3 typos, and I can't send this out because they know that you edit, and this will look so bad. And I'm like, well, I'm glad you found them because obviously I've read it so many times, I didn't notice it anymore. I wrote it. So in my mind, I'm reading it how I hear it in my head, writing it.
Uh-huh. But
a lot of
you know, those typos are so easy.
Oh, yeah.
Depending on how fast you're writing. And I know that I gave fits to people getting this book published, and I surely didn't mean to, but I really appreciate everything everybody did for me. I really want you to know that. And
thank you. Like I said, you're a very talented author. So I enjoyed working with you beforehand, and I'm enjoying working with you now that you're published. I mean, that's the one thing that I love about this industry, and I'm sure Irene can say the same thing since she sits on the editing side of the table with me as well. And Irene will also tell you that she gets emails from me all the time that are like typo heaven, because I just like send them out and was like, and I look at it after they respond, I'm like, ooh, that was really bad. But we love seeing, yeah, it does. But, we love seeing authors that, that we see at the beginning of this process and that we work with, be it, at Halo Through the World of Ink, at Stories for Children, and watching you guys grow and grow not just by having more books published, but even your craft and your own voice, because every author has their own voice when they tell a story, watching that just get more distinct, more honed, more defined as you move on to the next, the next project and the next project and the next project. I mean, it's just, it's great to be a part of that. And so thank you for letting us, basically ride that roller coaster with you, because,
this has been very, very exciting for me, and I just want to thank you. So, I'll get in touch with you after this show, because I have a question that I want to ask you later.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we talked earlier how you have an author website. So can you share your website? I noticed it was up the other
Day.
So those that are listening right now, and those who'll tune into the show later when it's up on the website, if you listen to later on as an on-demand show, they can go there, learn more about you, your book that's out right now, Kaboom, and of course all the upcoming ones.
Okay. My website is alicejoy.com, and my email is alicejoy@frontier.com.
Okay, that's great. And I know on your website you have upcoming book signing events, so anybody who's out near you in the Ohio area, because I know Ohio isn't like, this little tiny state where you can drive across it in one day like some of them. But, if they're going to be out in your area or want to go for a road trip, I know they can see some of the upcoming book signings you have going on. And then also you're doing the World of Ink Tour, which is a virtual tour. So our listeners can definitely, read some more interviews. You have some book reviews going on. And then which we were talking about, which was the attachment thing. Alice has written actually some guest posts for blogs. So basically they're on different topics from inspiration to writing. One of them, which was, I think it was yesterday, and I can't remember which blog it was on because I was on so many yesterday. I think it was a children's, a Utah children's writer's blog. There's an article up about how Alice gets her inspiration for her titles. For her books, so that's a really, I love that. That's why I knew about that you have a specific way how you pick out your titles and what that was. And that's why
I pick it out right after the story.
Which is great.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And I like that because a lot of authors start with the title and then do their story, and I think it works for. And I'm one of those authors, but for me, it works. But I know some authors it doesn't because they feel like they're locked into trying to make that title work, and it's like, it's a working title for a reason. It can change.
Because if you write something particularly different in your story that you weren't planning, that might be the exact thing you want to put in your title.
So if our listeners want to go to those different links and read those interviews, book reviews, and different guest posts from Alice, you can go to worldofinknetwork.com.
Say that again.
worldofinknetwork.com. And then if you click on Authors on Tour, you'll see a picture of Alice. Her name will be underneath it, and then there's a link to her tour page. And there's actually, and on her tour page is also a YouTube video, so it's her book trailer, so you can get kind of a sneak peek of the book Kaboom and see some more illustrations that are within the book and some little snippets of different things that happen in the book, so you can basically get like a little kind of like a movie trailer but for a book.
The trailer
there as well.
The trailer you did for me is just absolutely out of this world. I love it.
Thank you. I had fun working on it. It took so long to figure out which music to use because I'm like, I don't want whimsical, fairy kind of music because this isn't who this character is. So it was hard trying to find something. I was like, I want something that's kind of Celtic feeling because she just looked so like she was like some type of Celtic background to me. I maybe it's because of the red and the green. I don't know. And then, but I thought the same thing,
Virginia. That was great.
I'm sorry, my husband's half French, half Irish, so I guess maybe that's what it was. I was thinking it was the Irish side of him that was popping out. I don't know. Anyway, but then I knew it was an adventure kind of fantasy, too, so I was like trying to find the new. I think I spent probably 4 days going through libraries and libraries of music, just listening. My family thought I was nuts. They'd come in at like 12 o'clock at night, you know, because this was during the summer. And I'm back there, and I'm like, what? So like, what are you listening to?
I was wondering if you ever slept.
I do. I do get sleep. It's not very much, but I do. Well, Alice, it's been great having you on this show.
Thank you.
With you. And, I mean, you're just such a sweetheart, too. I mean,
I'm glad we're
people
still
just read your books for that reason alone, just because you're just nice. Don't bug me.
Marcia, I just want to say you're very very interesting, and it's exciting to hear how you really love what you do.
Oh, thank you so much. And I appreciate the little review that was on the you've written a couple of reviews on this, haven't you? Or did you just do one?
I did one, and I've worked with some of the other sites that you know, because I'll send them the information about the book and, of course, the book for them to review. And then they'll send me the review, and I'm like, well, you know, you didn't get quite, that's not quite right, or I don't like, you know, I don't want to say I changed what they said, but, you know, basically said, you know, that the conclusion that you drew there isn't exactly, you know, correct. And so I'd kind of tell them why and tell the theory.
Yeah, Irene did a very nice one, too, and I wanted to tell her I really appreciate them very much.
You're more than welcome.
Well,
I just love the book. So.
Well, and so for our listeners know, it's our author today is Alice Joy. Her book is called Kaboom. It's going to be part of the Sprout series. Her second book will be coming out soon. It's called Snickerdoodles.
Snickerdoodles.
Not to be mistaken with Snickerdoodles, the cookies. But you can't eat those while you read the book. It'd probably be a nice added bonus. And you can find out more about her at alicejoy.com. She spells Alice with a Y, not an I, so it's AlyceJoy.com, so you know, and you can also go to the worldofinknetwork.com, and under Authors on Tour, you'll see her picture, and you can also get to her website through there, her Facebook events, see all the different places for interviews, book reviews, guest posts, the book trailers there as well, and information about the book, too, so you can go there to get all the information. Mm-hmm. And then, Marcia, are you still on, or did you?
I'm here.
Why don't you talk about your show tomorrow, since you have it, since you're on with us, and I don't have to go look it up
right,
today.
Okay. Tomorrow night. Is that a good story? Is a good story. This is going to be a great show. It's an outspoken show about, you know, self-publishing and what you need to do in this business. And it's with Julia Robb, a new writer from Texas. And then we're having Tracy Slatton, who has been on my show before. She's great. She's had several traditional published, and now she's on her own publishing and doing really good. And Joanne Buchanan from World Castle will be on also to talk about, you know, how this industry is. We haven't dealt with that for a while, so we're going to have a really good show. It's going to be very interesting.
Oh,
and that's at 7 o'clock. You're at Mountain Time. It's 8 o'clock Eastern. I mean, it's Central, 8 and 9
Eastern.
Yeah,
9 Eastern.
It's going to be,
And I'm looking forward to that show, Marcia, tomorrow, because, which you know, because I sent you actually yesterday a link to a 6-page article about self-publishing and just, you know, how the publishing industry is shifting.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's a hot topic right now. Everybody's really talking about e-books, self-publishing, and just the changing face of the publishing world. So,
and we should say just one thing about self-publishing. The reader, who we all write for, they do not care who our publisher is. They care about what we're writing. So we have to concentrate on the best writing we can do. And the reader, that's up to the reader to decide.
Right. And that's very true, because you're right, because when I go look at a book to buy it off the shelf or as an e-book, I don't know who published it. I could care less. Is the story good? Does the author know how to entice me? And that's all I care about.
Right. Well, and you want to read a good book, and there are a lot of good books that are self-published. It's not fair.
Yeah.
It just isn't.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm glad he wrote that. I'm going to try to see if he'll like to come on the show. It would be great.
Yeah, I think that'll be interesting. And by the way, everybody, the article I'm talking about, 6 pages long, it's on Forbes.com. I don't remember the title of it. So this isn't like some, you know, hole-in-the-wall online publication. It's Forbes. 6 pages about the changing face of the publishing world.
Oh, right. No, it was a really, really good article.
Yes, great article. And if you follow me on Facebook, it's on my Facebook wall. Just go look for the link and go read it. I highly suggest it. Because it was a really great read, and it has traditionally published to self-published authors, indie authors, all are quoted in there, all talking about it. So it's not picking one side or the other. It was very sharing both sides of the argument, basically, of the changing world. So good article, and I'm looking forward to the show tomorrow. So it's a good story, 9 Eastern with Marcia Casper Cook tomorrow. August 21st, and then on August 22nd, which is the Wednesday, is the Family Matters show. I will be on that show with Irene Roth, and then we'll be joined with Keisha Burcham, our other co-host on the show, out of Nashville. And it's going to be an interesting topic. Keisha picked it. It's called Parent Report Cards. And so we're going to be really, because school has either started or is starting, you know, depending on where you're at globally. So we're going to be talking about, you know, how parents are basically having to grade themselves, or the schools are grading parents on how involved they are with their kids and their education. So this is going to be a hot topic. And it's really close to Keisha Burcham's heart, because she's in Nashville, and I guess Tennessee passed some law about this. And it's been all over the news and media, online media sites about this topic. So it's going to be a great show.
Everybody has a show this week, because also Fran has a show on Thursday.
Yes, and then we have Focus on Discussion with Fran Lewis on Thursday. What time is Fran's show at?
Fran's show is 3 Central, 4 Eastern, and it's with John Lescrart. It's Lescroart. He's a best-selling author of 19 novels. Betrayal is one of them.
Okay.
And then on Saturday, we also have one more show, which is a good thing. We have I think, a Gather Round, right? Isn't the children's
show? Yeah, it's Storytime Gather Round. Will be on Saturday, because they usually go every other Saturday. Sometimes they'll go 3 Saturdays in a row, but they're at least every other Saturday every month. So it's a good
With J.D. Holliday and Christy Condorell. And it's Night Buddies and the Pineapple Cheesecake Scare by Sam Isn't that
Heather
on your show, right?
That's a great little book,
too.
Great book. And I don't know if it's Christy or JD, but Sans isn't going to be able, normally on at Storytime Gather Round, the author comes on and reads from their book.
Oh, she's going to do it?
Sans isn't able to make the show, so I don't know if it's going to be Christy or JD, but one of them will be reading. Sans did send in to them, his suggested pages for them to share with the readers, so because he feels that it's at least it's his favorite part of the book. So definitely tune in.
Great show. Everybody's really loving this show.
Oh, it's a great show for, you know, if you have obviously if they're a teenager, they can just list themselves. But, you know, it's more for, like, 12 and under. And it's a great show to put on, you know, with the kids to let them listen to. And,
yeah.
And you know, especially if you're busy. Like, I know I'm busy, like, especially as a mom. If you want to clean the house, put on It's Story Time, Gather Round.
It's short. It's just for kids. It's not an adult. It's
45 minutes, and they can have a story read to them while you go dust the house really quick.
That's right. What a
great idea.
Exactly. Really,
and people are loving it. So I guess, I mean, we're full pack this week. That's good.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, very busy week, isn't it? Wow.
Oh, it is.
And I hope everybody's internet, because I did 3 shows last week. I'm hoping that probably tomorrow night mine won't work.
Sandra
Elrod will be there, so she'll hopefully. Yeah. Actually, hers didn't work last week, so, you know, it's the weather. So we're out there. We may have different hosts. Whoever comes on is a host, so we'll be there.
That's right.
Well, Marcia, we thank you for being
take care.
Our link today.
Take care.
Keep the show on.
But I'm going to off the show, and I have to go to work now.
All right. And we thank everybody for listening to our show. And definitely tune in tomorrow to Marcia's show, and have a safe day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.